I want to open up with a prayer first, and I'd like to say, let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you for worshiping with this body of believers today. I pray that you would speak and let me get out of the way so that your truth will be heard, understood, and put into the daily lives of everyone here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the title of the book of Proverbs could be as simple as one word, wisdom. And that would be totally appropriate. The purpose of Proverbs is to teach people how to attain wisdom, discipline, a prudent life of fairness, and morality. In short, to apply divine wisdom instruction to everyone. And I just want to clear up front, knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is knowing a whole bunch of things about a whole lot of things. Wisdom is taking that knowledge and putting it into practice for some of those things that I just mentioned a minute ago. So as we get into the situation here with the Proverbs, most of us know a fair bit about Solomon and the Proverbs. Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs, but not all of them. There was two guys named Agur and Lemuel that wrote some of the Proverbs on the at the end of the book. The original audience was the people of Israel, but it still genuinely was mostly written by Solomon. Solomon's Proverbs were written mostly in his early regime as the kingdom. And probably one of the key verses to get started off with this is Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. There was I ran across a translation that was alongside of fool, and it was a know-it-all. I thought that was kind of interesting, because he's supposed to know it all, right? But so with this great wisdom during his lifetime, he spoke about 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,000 songs approximately. There are several other proverbs that were other writers, as I mentioned before. And a proverb is a short, pithy saying that expresses a general principle. And when I looked up that word pithy, it was meant short but powerful. And I think that's a pretty accurate description of how Solomon's style was of the Proverbs. My family, I asked them to think about some modern-day Proverbs that we might have used maybe when we were kids or something. So we had some fun with some modern proverbs, something along the line of an apple a day keeps the doctor away, waste not, want not, a penny saved is a penny earned, kindness doesn't cost anything, pretty is pretty does, and one that's near and dear to my heart is make hay while the sun shines. I will quote a couple of semi-famous people here outside my family. I'll attribute this one to Coach Fran, who was a good friend of ours. It's better to prepare than to repair. And then I got to get in my one shot at Jimbo chapter one. I can't hear what you're saying. Your actions are so loud. That's Jimbo chapter one. Another one of the family proverbs was, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. So you might be surprised today as we go through this, how relevant the Proverbs are even to this day. As we go through here, you will find Proverbs that deal with mate selection, like your future spouse, contentment in marriage, hard work, business ventures, adultery, aging, debt, telling the truth, deception, and personal finances. Most of us are fairly knowledgeable about Solomon. We've heard about him probably all of our adult and or Christian lives. But perhaps I knew that he was the king of Israel, and he was commanded to build the temple, and he did. And that's pretty much about all I've heard about Solomon, other than the fact that he was called the richest man on the world, and he had 700 wives. I don't know how he got away with that one. But Solomon's life was not always easy. So, not so fast, my friend. Let's take a look at 1 Kings chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 3. Going back to 1 Kings. Lost my place. Whoa. Okay, First Kings, starting with verse 1. When King David was old and well and advanced in his years, he could not keep even warm. They put covers over him. So his servant said to him, let us look for a young virgin that can take care of him. Then they searched around Israel, found that beautiful girl. And now, starting on verse 5, now Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, put himself forward and said, I will be king. Going down a little further, verse 6, his father had never interfered with him by asking, why do you have this? He was also very handsome and born like Absalom. Adonijah conferred with Joab, son of Zeruiah, with Abiathar the priest, and they gave him their support. But Zadok the priest and Benai, son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rai, David, special guard, did not join Adonijah. So paraphrase some more of that story. In King David's final days, he had bad circulatory health problems. Can y'all hear me still? So summarizing, King David's final days, he had bad circulatory health problems. Solomon was David's second son. Bathsheba was his mother. The news of David's failing health prompted Adonijah, David's fourth son, to assert his claim to the throne. By this point, Adonai joined his older brothers, Amnon and Absalom, and evidently Chileah. Like Absalom, Adonijah was an attractive, handsome young man, and his ambition led him to raise a small army to support his claim. He soon gained the support of Joab's powerful general and the high priest Abiathar. However, the prophet Nathan knew Adonijah and was God's choice for next king. So part of that lesson is that Solomon did not have a clear, uncontested path to being the king, even though he was David's son. And so I think part of the situation of wisdom is life experiences. The Proverbs were put in place for the purpose of teaching people about life. And the more that you know about life experiences, whether they're good or bad, can be a very, very good thing. Another verse is 1 Kings 4:29. We're talking about how brilliant, how smart, how wise Solomon was. The people of Sorry, 429. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than wisdom of all the men of the east and greater than all wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan, the Ezraite, wiser than Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, sons of Mahal, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,000, and he described plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also taught about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's word, who had heard his wisdom. So that distinction would fall to Solomon, to the second born of David and Bathsheba. And we talked about Nathan's Nathan's intervention. Nathan's intervention prompted David formally to recognize Solomon as his successor, even though he was not next in line for the kingship. And Adonai's support eroded, and he begged Solomon for mercy. Solomon spared his life, provided he proved himself as a worthy man and did not seek to reclaim the throne. Once the succession was secure, Solomon began his reign on a good footing. He asked God to give him wisdom to shepherd his people, and the Lord answered by giving him not only, but Solomon's king, but also great riches and power. Solomon's kingdom would grow to be one of the most powerful in the world at the time. So, as you can see, he didn't have a very clear path to the kingship. And that goes along with what I call the life experiences that probably, maybe certainly, has shaped some of what he has written in the Proverbs. So at this point, what I like to do is talk about some of the actual Proverbs themselves. And rather than march through back and forth Bibles, I would like to start at the beginning of Proverbs, and we're going to go a few of them singularly. So on, I would start off with Proverbs 1, 8 through 10. Listen to your father's Proverbs 1, 8 through 10. Listen to your father and mother. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So, what we can glean from that is parents, wisdom passed along to children. Next, let's look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This one is probably one of the most quoted Bible verses in the entire Bible. But it also is the sort of the penultimate result of all of these Proverbs. And it happens to be one of my favorite. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. That sums up a godly life just right there in one or two paragraphs. It's brilliant. Next, we're going to see Proverbs 5:15 to 18. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. To me, that is that's a proverb that's wise because of a long and happy life, a long and happy marriage. And next we have Proverbs 5:18. Oh, sorry. Duplicated that one. I have Proverbs 6:16-19. A false witness who pours out lies and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Oh, this is another one of the most famous quoted in the Bible, and probably one of the most important. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Let's look at Proverbs 12:4. Excuse me. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. You know, you can kind of chase this back to dating and maybe selecting your future husband or your wife, just to make sure that you have no issues of personality that might be not wise. We have Proverbs 12:5. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. This one comes under the heading of telling the truth or being deceptive, one or the other. Quite a few of these proverbs have either or situations. Do this, don't do that. Next one is Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. How many times do we get an opportunity to interact with somebody who is feeling down? We should be immediately in the process of being kind to that person and helping them out of whatever situation they're in. Next one we have is Proverbs 14:29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. I don't care too much for somebody who is impatient and that has a quick temper. That's probably the quickest way to shun someone away from the Lord. Next we have Proverbs 16:31. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. No, 16. Sixteen three says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." You know, we as business owners, business leaders, even just employees are doing a regular job. God wants us to succeed. And don't let anybody else tell you different. That's a great verse to cling to for sure. And then there's Proverbs 16:31. It's one of my favorites. Gray hair has a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Well, I guess I'm pretty righteous then. One of my friends says, better for it to... Oh, never mind. That's it. Then the next one is Proverbs 17:22. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it. That's kind of what this whole thing is all about, is wisdom compared to knowledge. Next we have Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Parents, beware on this one, especially when they're young ones. We all have dreams, and they may be dreams that will be fulfilled in other realms and other places, but to crush somebody's spirit is, to me, is just one of the worst and one of the most powerful proverbs in this verse 22. Then we have Proverbs 19:11. Another biggie. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to the glory to overlook an offense. Wow. There's so many grudges in broken families. I have one. Lauren has one or more. It's one of the most disappointing thing in my entire life that I can't get past grudges of certain people. And there it is right here, as relevant as can be in 2021. We have Proverbs 19 and 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. There's a whole lot of people that are listening with their mouth in our culture today. I think Solomon and God certainly intend for us to be more patient in our dealings with our fellow man. And then we have Proverbs 21:9. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Now, I don't know anybody like that, but I've heard of it. But really, on this one, I think this goes back to the selection process in the first place. And youngsters, I'm here to tell you, I was married once, right in college, and God was 0% of my criteria. And then 10 years later, I married again, and God was 100% of my criteria. That's probably the most important thing that I will tell you today and any time I encounter you youngsters, for sure. Proverbs 22:6. Here's another biggie. Parents, train the child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not turn from it. That's another one of the biggest problems in today's society, is that very situation. And then we have So in closing, I just would like everyone to really take to heart that knowledge is not wisdom. Life experiences help with wisdom. Listen to wise counsel of older Christians, more mature Christians. Be patient, kind, loving. And I thank the Lord for providing this manual. I thank you. Lord, help us to put these words from your man, Solomon. Pray that they would be put into practice in our everyday life and read them over and over and over again until we can practically memorize them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.